Welcome back to the Love Intently podcast. I'm Sophie Kwok, your host and founder of Love Intently, where our mission is to empower you to have a thriving relationship with yourself and everyone around you. This week, we have an incredible guest, Amanda Horvath. She is a YouTube and video expert who is passionate about supporting entrepreneurs getting started in video. Whether you are an aspiring thought leader or business owner looking to utilize video to grow your business, her YouTube channel and her courses are the place you will find everything you need. Most couples I admire have told me that one of the best things they ever did for their relationship is keeping a weekly date night, regardless of what was happening in their lives. I love going on fun and unique dates, but I don't love planning them, and neither does my partner. We both have so much going on in our lives, and even during a pandemic, we just don't have the time to do the research to come up with something we've never done together before. And this is why I am such a huge fan of the Adventure Challenge. It is a scratch-off book with 50 date ideas. So essentially, for the price of one date, you get 50 dates, and they are all COVID-friendly. They're all pandemic-friendly. I know for us, planning these unique dates have been even harder during the pandemic. Some of you might be skeptical. My partner definitely was. He wasn't sure how legit the dates would be, but he became a quick lover of the Adventure Challenge after our first date. He immediately said that it was super fun and he couldn't wait to do our next date. They will let you know whether the date will be indoor, outdoor, if it'll be creative or chill, if it'll include food or the outdoors, all of these different factors so that you can pick one based on your mood. Did I mention that they have a friends edition and a family edition as well? So these are for you single people or people that have bigger families. You can do this with the entire family, which is incredible. You can get 10% off of your first order by using the code LOVEINTENTLY, LOVEINTENTLY, one word. And you can find the link to the Adventure Challenge in our show notes. If you do get an Adventure Challenge, be sure to tag us and let us know that you did. I cannot wait to see all of your incredible dates and all the memories that you get to create. Whether you are new to the Love Intently podcast or you have listened to every episode, if you haven't taken the attachment style quiz yet, you will want to. It only takes 5 minutes and is such a powerful tool in helping identify self-sabotaging behaviors and patterns in relationships. All you have to do is go to loveintently.com/attachment style. And yes, this quiz is free. Now, if you have taken the quiz and you're wondering, okay, what's next? How do I take this knowledge a little deeper and actually create the relationship that you have always dreamed of? There are two ways of working with me. One, there's one-on-one coaching, and that is for people who are fresh out of relationships, single and looking in a relationship, or people who are currently in relationships and wanting support in evolving that relationship into something more of what they want. One-on-one coaching is special because it really meets you where you are and you get personalized high-touch access to me that you just don't get in the group program. In the group program, it is a super powerful container that will help you identify where you're self-sabotaging and empower you to create the relationships that you really want with yourself and the people around you. The group program is powerful in that you gain a community of people who also share a common goal. The friendships that you will build from this container will last a lifetime, and it includes live coaching calls. So you do get access to me. You just don't get as much personalized access. In both the group coaching and one-on-one coaching program, I use a blend of mindset work, somatic and nervous system regulation practices, as well as inner child healing sessions. I find that to really create transformation, you need to connect the mind, the heart, the soul, and the body. And that is why I use a blend of a lot of different methodologies that I've found to be so impactful and transformational for me. There's nothing I'm going to have you guys try that I haven't tried before. And to ensure the quality of the group program as well as the one-on-one program. There is an application process because I am only taking people on who are really ready to transform their lives and relationships and willing to put in the work. There is work associated with creating this type of transformation. And once you complete the application, someone will reach out to you and discuss if this is a really good fit for you in this season. If you have any additional questions, the easiest way to reach me currently is to find me on Instagram and DM me. You can find me at love.intently or at sofquak. I am truly so excited to connect with more of you and to support you on your own journeys. And yeah, if you do join either one of these programs, it's going to be a great time. Amanda started in video as a talented videographer, and she worked with incredible people like Ryan Holiday and Tim Ferriss and many other big names and incredible businesses. A few years ago, she felt this deep call to start her own YouTube channel and has never looked back. And I remember that season, and it's so incredible to be able to see how far she's come. Because since then, she has gained over 45,000 subscribers on YouTube. She's launched multiple courses and created a mastermind on human design, which is what we will be diving into today. She is what is known as a projector, which I also am. And we will talk all about what that means, how to know if you are a projector, what your human design is, and how it impacts your business, your life, and your relationships. The reason that I brought her on here to talk about human design opposed to video is that I wanted to give her an outlet to really share this part of her brain. She does have some videos on human design on YouTube, but her and I love geeking out about different personality typing systems. This is one that has been really transformative for her and pretty impactful for me. She has been so gracious and generous with her time in diving into all of it with me. And it's really funny. We talk about this a little bit, I think, but I was really resistant towards human design. Some people are like that towards the Enneagram, which I'm realizing I haven't done a full episode on, and I do totally intend to do that. I love the Enneagram, so important. And that's the first one that we started nerding out about. This one is really powerful in a lot of different ways, and you will hear all about it. So without further ado, here is our conversation. Amanda, welcome to the Love Intently podcast.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Yes, I am so excited to be diving into all things human design with you. For those of you that don't know, Amanda is one of my besties, and we like to geek out over different personality typing systems, and human design is one of the most recent that Amanda brought into our life. So I would love for people to just hear your story about like what attracted you to human design, and yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got attracted to human design probably the same way that a lot of you out there will, which might be hearing about it randomly and then someone saying, hey, do you know your human design type? And me being like, I have no clue what that is. Let me look it up. Looking it up, seeing the chart and being like, what the heck is this? This makes no sense to me. And then I headed over to YouTube. I watched one YouTube video on my type, which I'm a projector, which we're going to talk about. And I was floored. It completely nailed me. And I felt seen. I felt so incredibly seen and recognized. And it just felt so good. And I had to learn more. So I immediately booked a session with a professional reader here in Austin. And the way that I described the session is I said hello, and she went on to describe my entire life story. It blew my mind. And that started the rabbit hole of diving down this information and wanting to learn as much as I possibly could.
And what's super funny is after Amanda learned about her human design type, naturally,
we hung out shortly after, and she looked at my chart, and I started learning a little bit about what being a projector meant, which I also am. Woo. And I had the opposite reaction. I was like, F this, this is not who I am. I don't want to be the lowest energy type. And I just had such a strong rejection towards it. Like, it took me probably like 6 months to fully embrace being a projector, which is really funny. So before we dive too deep into what this all means for us, can you give our audience a quick breakdown of what the four types are?
So there are generators, which actually breaks down into two different types of generators. You have generators and manifesting generators. And generators make up about 37% of the population, and manifesting generators make up about 33% of the population. So adding those together, that's about 70% of the population, which is the majority of people out there are generators. And they have what we call this juicy life force energy that is like a motor that's running inside them. So they're really the doers of the world. They have the energy to execute and make things happen. Now, with manifesting generators, they're a little bit different because they can take an idea to reality very quickly. They have that energy to do so, while generators are more so here to take someone else's idea and be the doer behind it. So we call manifesting generators the gladiators of the world because they can kind of go out and conquer and make things happen for themselves. But they also tend to have way too many passions and have a lot of balls up in the air and are constantly balancing a million different things on their plate. So if you're a manifesting generator, that's normal. Congratulations, you are working properly. It's just a learning how to manage that. And generators tend to be just a little bit more chill. So it's a very, very loose overview of generators. Then you have projectors, which is 21% of the population. And projectors are here to be guides. They are not the doers. We do not have the same level of energy that generators do. And so we're prone to burnout. But we also have a very different way of seeing the world that is more big picture, that is in a way like sitting back and watching life unfold as if you're watching a movie on a projector screen. And we like to go deep very quickly with people. And a lot of people don't like that. And it can leave us feeling unseen and disconnected from others. And so we live a lot of our life feeling that way. And it can be really challenging to move through because we tend to be the queens or kings of unsolicited advice. We see everything that everyone else needs to fix because we see the big picture. We immediately go deep. We come in like a dagger and we tell people what to do. And we're not being invited to do that. So we need to take a step back, wait for the invitation, and wait for people to really recognize our gifts and values in order to shine in the world, because we really are here to be successful and to be guides to other individuals. Then you have manifestors. This makes up 10% of the population. And manifestors are able to clear a path to where they want to go. So they have what they call a repelling aura, which moves people out of the way and clears a path to wherever they want to go. So they have an idea, they can make it happen. However, they are also a non-energy type, which kind of like the projector. Generators have what we call, once again, that juicy life force energy, but the rest of the types don't. So when you don't have that, you don't have that doer energy. So while you can clear the path to turning something into a reality, you don't have the energy to sustain it moving forward. Now, the trick for manifestors is that they really need to inform people of their actions. Because they can just clear a path to where they want to go, it can get them in trouble sometimes because they just go and they do. So if you are a manifestor, telling people around you about the actions that you're going to take before you take them is going to help reduce resistance in your life. And then you have reflectors, which make up 1% of the population. And this is a very interesting type. It is very unique, as you can tell, with the 1% of the population. And they're here to be mirrors to the rest of us. They're reflecting other people. And they tend to kind of be sampling in the world. They sample things here and there. They don't really pick up other people's energy. They're just here to, yeah, be that reflection, be that evaluator of what's working, what's not working. And they need to wait to make decisions because they need to wait 28 days to make decisions, actually. So human design, and we're really keeping things at a high level here, but human design is really here as a method to tell you how to move through life without resistance and how to make decisions for your type. So each one has a different strategy and authority that they have. And so reflectors, they need to wait for the full moon cycle, sample all of the different energies that are going to happen during that time before they can have clarity on what their next step is.
I'm super curious as to what you would say the most impactful parts of figuring out that you're a projector has been for you.
Yeah. And I want to say real quick that at this stage, if you're feeling like, okay, wait, this is super confusing, stick with it because it really is confusing at first. And the more you dive into it, the more information you get about it, it slowly starts to make sense. And it really is life transformational. So stick with us as we kind of move through this. So how has being a projector changed my life? Learning that I am not a doer has been huge. And as a projector, so many people, we feel like, wait a second, that's not true. I'm a total gladiator. I can go out and I can make things happen. And it's because we're taking in everyone else's energy and amplifying it. And so it seems like we have more energy than the others. But we're acting off of other people's energy and not our own, which is what causes that burnout. So learning that it's not my own energy has been massive because I do tend to burn myself out. And when projectors burn out, it takes us double as long to recover. And you and I have both experienced this in life.
Yes.
And so learning that about yourself and learning, do you know when enough is enough? Can you step away from your computer when you start to kind of, you know, feel that intuitive hit or whatever it is for you that is like, you need to step away. Can you do it? Because it can be addicting to keep going and going and going, but it's not good for us.
Yeah. And I can so relate to that. I think for me, that has been a really big shift. And I think for me, the reason I was so anti being a projector was because so much of my identity was wrapped around being a doer and making shit happen for myself. And I generally have felt like I have a lot of energy. And I do, in comparison to some other people, like for sure I have really good coping skills, but at the same time, I have burned out really hard in different times of my life, and I have just been so conscious of not getting there because the recovery process is so painful and it takes so long. And what's super incredible about human design and watching you embrace it is I have watched your work style, like how you work, shift completely.
Yeah. Totally. It really is. It's such a subtle, small shift. And I've been diving into this knowledge since May of 2020. So however long that's been now, like definitely over a year. And it's like allowing myself to not take on projects that are doer projects, recognize the roles that I do want to say yes to, what I don't want to say yes to, giving myself permission to go with the flow and not rush through and make it happen because I know. And another component of it too is like for projectors, we have a genius quality about us that if you're forcing it, it's not going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to allow it space to show up in the way that it will actually work for you rather than be pushing a boulder uphill. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other component of it that has really changed my life is waiting for the invitation, not giving unsolicited advice. It's so easy to see what everyone else needs to change and feel really bitter about the fact that they aren't taking the suggestions in. And so learning to say, oh, you know what? That sign of bitterness that I have is merely, or that feeling of bitterness that I have is merely a guidepost to say, hey, you're barking up the wrong tree. This person doesn't recognize your value. So move along. You know, someone will, and wait for that person to recognize you. And then it will be so much easier. That's huge.
Yeah. What's really interesting about what you just shared is I recognize that my work around Enneagram, which was, I would say, the personality typing system we were obsessed with right before this, working through being Enneagram 2 and learning what was my work to do and like consistently asking myself that question, when it came to learning everything around being a projector, it made a lot of sense. And I feel like it made the waiting for the invitation a lot easier for me than I think it would have been otherwise.
Yes, I can't agree more. So she's an Enneagram 2, I'm an Enneagram 3, which is a whole nother can of worms for those that don't know it. But I definitely think that there is an overlap. And I think just personality tests in general, they give us words for things that we already know ourselves. A lot of people are scared. Well, I don't want to look into human design because it's going to box me into something that I may not resonate with. And I don't see it that way. I see it as an opportunity to try something on, see if it does resonate. And then when it does, it's a massive breakthrough and an opportunity to reduce resistance in your life.
Totally. And I think a really powerful conversation we had semi-recently was with a few other friends, and all of you were saying to me, because I was still like holding on to this resistance around being a projector, around that the human design system is meant for you to prove it wrong. Like it is meant for you to use it and look at it and see if it resonates. And it is created for you to try to prove it wrong. But for most of the time, it is spot on. And that is why I am here having this conversation.
Yes, exactly. It's an experiment.
Yes. So let's move on to the part that I'm sure everyone is super curious about if they're listening to this podcast, but how it impacts our relationships and what it can tell us about our relationships.
Absolutely. So as we move forward from here, you guys are definitely going to want to have your chart downloaded as well as your partner's chart. And we might reference numbers here and there on the chart and kind of navigate through it, because it can be, it's a physical visualization of how other people's energy impacts you. If you think about it from the basic standpoint, when you're looking at a body graph, there are centers that are colored in, which are the big sections, whether they're triangles, square, circle, it doesn't really matter. Those are called centers. And when those are colored in, it means that you have definition in that area. And when it's open, it means that you are a receptor to other people's energy. So you are going to be impacted by those that are around you if you have more centers open. So in terms of relationships, it's a perfect example of the energies that you are working with when you are in a relationship with someone else.
So, okay, when you are defined and undefined, like how has this impacted your relationship? And I can talk about that with mine. I think like for people to just generally know, we're both dating generators with a 3-5 profile. We can talk a little bit more about what that means later. But yeah, we are both dating generators with the same profile, and it has been really fun to dive into their charts and understand what that means for our relationship.
Yeah, which projectors love to analyze other people.
Yes.
And that's just the question we're constantly asking, who are you? And generators are typically asking, who am I? So it makes sense as projectors that we're diving into other people. So once again, from the very foundational basics, if you understand nothing else, you now understand colored in or open centers. You have defined energy that you have constant access to, or you're taking on other people's energy in that area. In addition to that, the bare bones basics that you need to know is that there are numbers on the chart, and each number is what they call a gate. And you can think about this kind of like a flow of water that is going between the centers. So it's like a stream of water. If you only have one gate, then it shows up in the chart as just one little hanging piece of that is hanging off of a center. And that's called a gate. It's like a dam that is blocking the energy that is able to reach the next center. And then there are channels. And channels are when two centers are fully connected. So there's a full flow of water or energy that is going between those two centers. And the channels are really the most defining features that someone has. So I really think that it's a great starting point to look at what are the channels that my significant other has and how are those impacting me when I'm around them. So for me personally, one of the channels that my significant other has is that he is very, very strong in his own convictions. He is going to do things his way. And that can come across as being selfish. And I could, previous to human design, I had this fear that he was a narcissist. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is going to work. Will he ever think about me before he makes a decision for himself? And learning about this energy, which is, if you're looking on the body graph, there is a 34 that is in the circle, the second center up from the bottom, that's called your sacral. There's a 34 gate coming out of that, and it's going up to the center above that, which is the G center, into the 10 gate. So this is the 1034 channel, which is the channel of exploration. And learning this about him, it made so much sense, and it gave me permission to love him for who he is and not create my own fears and stories around the fact that he was this way. So I'll give a quick example to really ground this point home. So there was one point in time where Sophie and I were hanging out and we were sitting underneath this tree and at this park, and my boyfriend Sam so desperately wanted to go to the creek. And
yes,
Sophie had a call. She had a limited period of time. She didn't have time to go to the creek. And so the general consensus of the group, because it wasn't just us, there were some other people with us, was that we were going to stay underneath the tree. Well, Sam wanted to go to the creek, and so he found his way to go to the creek. And so I can get all annoyed and aggravated about the fact that he has to go to the creek and how he doesn't care and project all of these stories onto him. Or I can recognize, oh, he's just following his own convictions. It's completely for his own good. It doesn't impact me. And I can sit here and I can enjoy the shade under the tree.
Totally.
So that's a super, super small example, but it shows up in every single day life. So learning the energies that significant other is bringing to the relationship, how they're impacting you, how they might be impacting the back and forth between you, can be so incredibly insightful. And a way to do that is just to Google 1034 human design, channel 1034 human design, and see what pops up. It might not make sense at first. Sit with it. Pay attention to it when you're around that person. Talk to them about it. Have them describe how they think that energy shows up for them. And that is kind of how this experiment will start.
Another really interesting part about our human design chart is that there are some conscious and subconscious gates. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between that and how you can know what is conscious or subconscious?
Absolutely. So now we are talking about the black and red colors within the gates and channels. So when you're looking at your chart, you have black and red. And the black is anything that you're conscious of having. And the red is anything that you're unconscious of having. The black is things that you're aware of, obviously. And the red is typically things that other people see in you, but you don't necessarily recognize in yourself. So when you're looking at these channels, I recommend starting with the ones that are fully black, because those are the energies that that person will be the most aware of. And that will bring up the easiest conversations around how they personally experience that. And same with your own chart, which ones are black? And sometimes you don't have ones that are fully black. Maybe half one side of it is red, the other side of it is black. And that means that you're aware of having one of the gates, but maybe not the full thing. So as you're reading through and paying attention to this description of what it is, this energy that is present in you, recognize that. And it once again becomes awareness. Try it on, see if it resonates. If it does, use it. If it doesn't, throw it away.
So the reason I even know about the Adventure Challenge is because Raina, an incredible part of our team, shared about it. So I wanted her to share about her experience with the Adventure Challenge. So why do you love the Adventure Challenge?
I love the Adventure Challenge because it gives us planned quality time together that we don't have to think about. So we just have these like really cool adventures that get us outside of our comfort zone and challenge us to be together in just a different way. So they're always like creative and just things we wouldn't think about that make it so beautiful and just beautiful experiences.
And what was it about the Adventure Challenge that made you want to get it initially?
Initially, I got it because for the holidays, we always try to give gifts of experiences because they're way more valuable than buying like a material object for us. And so I got it with the idea that like, oh, this will be fun. Like it'll give us ideas for dates and stuff. And it's so much more because it's this scrapbook. It's capturing all of our memories and it's giving us these wonderful, fun ideas of things to do. And just overall, like building our communication even stronger and our relationship stronger.
Who do you think would benefit from the Adventure Challenge? Like, who would you recommend getting the Adventure Challenge?
I would recommend the Adventure Challenge to any couples that want to do it, but there's also options for families and friends. And I think it's for people who want to step out of their comfort zone and challenge themselves. So maybe they're people who like a plan, but also like adventure. And this allows that because it's ensuring something's going to happen because it gives you the details of your date before you go. But then it's also allows you to have that piece of like, oh, what are we going to do? And that excitement. So I would suggest this for somebody who wants to step out of their comfort zone and grow with their partner or family or friends.
So if you're interested in getting your own Adventure Challenge book, whether it's Friends Edition, Family Edition, or Couples Edition, or even their Advent Calendar, then be sure to go to theadventurechallenge.com and use the code LOVEINTENTLY for 10% off. And that is LOVEINTENTLY, LOVEINTENTLY. You can find the link to the Adventure Challenge in our show notes, or you can go to theadventurechallenge.com. One really powerful part of human design is understanding how your charts work together. So like composite charts. And I think that's when, you know, booking a call with you or somebody else who is an expert in human design can really help you give you an initial understanding of how you two work together or if you're compromised in any areas. I know that's something that you pointed out to me that has been really helpful, is that I'm compromised when I'm with my partner in a specific channel. So can you share a bit about how that showed up?
Yeah, absolutely. So compromises show up when someone has the full channel. So once again, they have that full stream that is moving between those two centers. It's the entire energy. And the other person, so Sophie's boyfriend, Maher, has the full channel. And Sophie only has one gate out of that channel. And this can create a feeling of, I want to give value to him, but he won't take it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this can be a source of a lot of conflict in relationships because it's especially a projector, right, to a generator, is you're not being invited to give that advice. And so you can feel unneeded or unseen in that area, and it can create a lot of bitterness and resentment in the relationship when it doesn't have to be that way. It's just that person, their energy is overpowering yours because they have both sides of the channel and they really work differently. Even if you have one gate of that channel, it operates differently than having the full thing. So because the energy is transformed. So you might overcome the problems of one of the gates in order to have the full channel. So instead, whenever you find that you have this with your significant other, what you need to do is to let go of the energy that you have in order to experience the full power of their full channel. So for example, with Sophie and Maher, Maher has 43-23, that is going from the head from the ajna to the throat. And this is the gate of insights. And it is a stream of, it's kind of like a channeling channel where you can just like download an idea and be able to fully express it. And you see things before other people see them. It's a very individual channel. It's very unique. It's called the genius freak channel. And when you only have one of the gates, which Sophie only has 43, she can see and get insights and see things before they happen, but have an inability. She has an inability because she doesn't have gate 23 to express it. And so she might try to, you know, Maher might be expressing something and seeing something before it happens. And she might try to insert herself that, no, that's not how it's going to be. It might be this way instead. And he's like, no, that's not how it is, right? And that could create a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any examples that you can think of that might be like tangible?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I also, okay, so quickly, one of the first things you told me about this compromise or me being compromised in this gate was that I needed to be at least 6 feet away from him in order to gain insight, which has been so true. Like in our fights, in any discussions or arguments, a lot of the time I need to take time to process how I'm feeling and like literally physically be away from him before I can come back and we can have a much more effective conversation. Like we very rarely start fights and finish them immediately. It's most of the time I'm like, okay, we talk about it a little bit. I just need some time. And then we kind of resolve whatever is happening. But there are a lot of times, I'm trying to think of a specific example. I think one thing, okay, this is like, yeah, one example would be I often will give him suggestions on specific problems or limiting beliefs that he's having or whatever. And he is almost always defensive and like rejects it. But then 3 days later, he typically takes my advice and he's like, okay, you were totally right about this. And so for him, it takes like at least 3 days to 7 days for him to come around to whatever it is I'm suggesting. But this has happened quite a bit in our relationship. And so a specific tangible thing would be around COVID. I mean, with the lockdown and stuff, he has parents who are immunocompromised. So he was just being extra cautious around like seeing people and doing things. And I was obviously fully supportive of that. But I had, in the meantime, kind of built my own pool of friends that I was very specifically safely seeing or doing things with. And so that's how I kind of kept my sanity. But he hadn't even put any real effort in that. He hadn't really put real effort into seeing people or catching up with him, even virtually. And I could start to see him kind of spiral, like after 6 months of living this way. And so I literally sat him down and was like, you need social support.
Hmm.
And he did not like hearing that from me initially. And that did kind of cause a fight a little bit. But after that conversation about, I think that time it was a little bit faster. It was like 24 or 48 hours later. He was like, you're totally right. I'm going to put a little bit more effort in this. And it became so much better. Like once he started being able to see his own people and hang out with them. And I think that would be true of anybody, you know, like anybody that hasn't seen people they care about beyond their partner for a long time or just their parents, like anybody would go crazy. So he was totally in a rut because he hadn't allowed himself social support.
Yeah, totally. And he has I believe he's a split definition too, which is another component of human
triple
design.
Triple split.
Yeah. So there's individual, like there's like no splits where you're single definition. There's, you know, one split and then there's triple splits. And then there's quadruple splits as well, which is super rare. But basically what that means is that you'll have two centers connected that are not connected to another two centers. So through those channels, and this can create, whenever you have this split in your chart, you need other people around you to be able to pull these parts of yourself together and to feel like you can utilize and access every single part of yourself. So in isolation, a triple split is going to start to feel like something's off. I don't know what's going on here and I need to fill that gap. And so you're recognizing that and you're calling that out, and it's taking him time to kind of process through that. And it's also interesting because another component when you're looking at two charts is areas where you have electromagnetics. And this is when two gates meet one another. So instead of there being a compromise where one channel is dominant over the other person's individual gate, this is where you have two gates that meet together to form an entire channel. And this can really dictate how your energy works when you're together, but not when you're apart. And this is kind of the, you know, the difference between Maher and Sophie and Sophie and Maher together, you know? And so one of the things that you guys have together is being really in your structure. Like you guys have a certain flow that you follow and you're using it on repeat. And you don't necessarily have that when you're apart from one another, but when you're together, you have that. And this is the 515 that is going up from the sacral to the G center. So that second center up, going up to that, I guess it's that a rhomboid in the middle of the chart. So when he is stuck in his ways, because you guys are stuck in your ways of doing things and he needs to step out of that, that's another thing that can be challenging when you're together. So you bringing in other energies and suggesting these things can change it. So that's another thing to look at, I think, in general in charts is what is the energy that is formed between us?
So what does another one that I see we have is 3254. Can you quickly tell me what that means?
Yes. Yeah. So this is one that Sam and I are actually compromised on. So we can talk about both. So if you are looking at the chart, the very bottom square is the root center, and this is an adrenalized pressure center, and it is moving up towards the intuitive splenic center that is up there on the left. And so there's this pressure to rise up in a way. So it's the gate of influence meets the gate of, and let me not mess this one up. Let me get the exact. You know what? This app doesn't exactly tell me. I forget exactly what that's called, but together it's the channel of transformation. So the 54 is a fun one. Sophie and I both have this. And if you have this in your chart, it's kind of fun. It's called the marrying maiden. And the way that this works is that it goes along with the story of a housemaid in the king's castle. Okay. She's a housemaid. She's cleaning things. The prince sees her, falls in love with her. They get married. The king dies. She becomes queen. Her husband, who is now king, dies. She becomes queen. And then the husband, who now dies, she becomes like full ruler of the entire nation. And so there's this natural energy of rising up.
So is that us?
Yeah. And overcoming obstacles that are in your path to make that influence. All right. So I've pulled up the notes for 32 just to make sure we have this right. So the gate of continuity is gate 32. And this is the only thing that endures is change. So being very, very good at change and overcoming change. Does that resonate for Maher?
Oh, that's hilarious because he's so bad at change a lot of the time.
Is it red in his chart?
It's black in his chart. But okay, I will say he is resistant to change, but once a change has happened, he's really good at adapting. So it's like once change is forced upon him, he's really good when tragedy or like generally when bad things happen, he's like the best supporter. But if you talk about making a change that he doesn't want to change, it's not a good time.
I can see that. So the energies separately work totally different when they're together, right? So you guys each individually have those energies, but when you're together, it forms a design of being driven. So together as a couple, you guys are going to want to succeed and you're going to want to do anything you need to do to succeed.
Yeah, that resonates.
Which is a great thing to have in a relationship because it's like, it's a certain drive. And this channel is one that for any of you people out there who have nerded out about Hamilton, the musical.
Yes, Amanda introduced this to me and I became obsessed.
It's so good. So Alexander Hamilton, obviously one of our founding fathers, he was notorious for just working himself into the ground and constantly focused on rising up. And this is where that energy comes from. He had this channel. So it's like the rise up energy. I'm going to make it happen. And so it can come with negative consequences in that, you know, if you find yourself that you guys both in the relationship are constantly never satisfied with your current status and you constantly need to level up, that's something to pay attention to and recognize that maybe that energy needs to be redirected into areas of let's make the relationship better or let's figure out ways to like, you know, rise up without creating having this detrimentally impact our relationship.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that's been really interesting for me initially when I saw our charts combined is that I am the areas that I'm defined in are the areas that he's not. And the only area that we both have undefined when we're together is the head center. Mm-hmm. So that was like really powerful for me to recognize like, oh, these are the areas that he's typically picking up from me. And these are the areas I'm picking up from him. And together, that's kind of like this is the area that we are picking up from everyone around us.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So when Sophie is talking about composite charts, you can do this if you like the app that we really love to use is just the Human Design app. It's called the Human Design app, and you can upgrade and get the option to be able to overlay charts and do composites, which will show your combined chart together, which channels are connecting to one another in that electromagnetic. If you click on the three dots, you can see which ones are compromises and all of that. So yeah, it is interesting because one of the things we haven't really talked about yet, like there is a difference between types when they come together because certain centers are naturally defined with certain types. So generators will always have that juicy life force energy, which comes through the sacral, which is the second center up from the bottom. And for projectors, this energy is not good to constantly be around because we're taking it in and we're amplifying it. So when you are in a relationship, and same with manifestors and reflectors, but without getting too complicated, projectors end up taking on other people's energy even more than manifestors or reflectors just because of the way that their aura works. And because it's focused and absorbing, and manifestors are repelling, and reflectors are sampling, so they kind of can control a little bit more. So with that sacral energy, knowing that, hey, when we're together, I have that, and that's not necessarily a good thing for me to like constantly have. I need alone time.
Yes. And what is ironic about that is for twos, they also say one of the most important things for you is to have alone time. And guess what is something that it's not that I don't like alone time or can't do it. I just normally don't prioritize it. And a lot of that for me was being an only child and constantly, you know, like my younger self just wished and wanted to be around people. So as an adult, now that I can do that, I'm always around people. But I have heavily found the importance of taking time apart. And I feel like for Maher and I, it's really helped our relationship because we have tons of like, you do your own thing, I do my own thing, and then we do things together time. Whereas initially, I think earlier in the relationship, I wanted him to do a lot of things with me and my friends, and then we did a lot of things together. And it was like the alone time aspect for both of us at that time, pre-pandemic, wasn't at a level that it needed to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's relationship problems can be solved by increasing their alone time.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a 450 square foot apartment that is essentially one room. It's essentially a studio, although there's a curtain that separates the bedroom from the living room. And when Sam comes over, his house is about 30 minutes away. And so he'll end up spending multiple days here. And that means that I'm constantly around his energy, which starts making me a little crazy. And it's hard to get him to leave, not because he's sticking around, but because we as projectors are almost addicted to that life force energy. And we feel the absence of it when it leaves. And so that transition can be really challenging. And so knowing, okay, I just need alone time. And if I'm like starting to get a little bit loopy, I just need to step away from your generator energy. That once again gives you permission to not make that person wrong, not make you wrong, but to recognize the energies that are happening in the room and deal with them.
Yeah. And Maher is an introvert and I'm definitely an extrovert. And so that's something too. Initially, it was a thing that we had to navigate through, was recognizing his just need to recharge alone. And for me, I need to recharge as well, but I don't need as much alone time. And so that, like, identifying our human design for me helped me accept that even more, like, and almost like lean into it. Like, I embrace it now.
Yeah, and I think another interesting component of you and Maher's relationship is that you are on the emotional wave and he is off of it.
Yes, yes.
So another thing to look at, once again, and hopefully this is all slowly starting to click into place for you guys. So when you're looking at the chart, there is a center that is to the bottom right that is called the solar plexus. And this is the center for emotions. 50% of the population has a consistent way of experiencing emotions, and 50% of the population does not. They call it being on the emotional wave and being off the emotional wave. It doesn't mean that if you are off the emotional wave, that you have no emotions. In fact, sometimes people that are off the emotional wave, they will be even more emotional because they're taking on the emotions of everyone else. They are empaths and they can be overwhelmed by everyone else's emotions in the room. But in relationships, generally speaking, it can be really good to either both be on the emotional wave or both be off the emotional wave. And Sophie and Maher are the opposite.
Yes.
So learning that, it's not a game. Like, it's not a, what's the word?
Deal breaker. Showstopper.
Deal breaker. There you go. A deal breaker. If that's the case, it's just learning how to manage it. So when you were saying earlier, we get into fights and then you need to step away and give it time. One of the defining qualities of having a defined solar plexus is that you need to sleep on your decisions. And so for you to step away and allow that emotional wave to kind of settle down before you make a decision in the relationship can be really good. And it can be good because he will take in yours when you're in a fight and amplify them, and he'll leave even more aggravated than you. So there's just a lot of energy that's swirling around. So I think that's a really big thing to look at.
Yeah, the emotional wave aspect of it was really powerful. I think like giving myself permission, one, to not feel pressure to make big decisions in a short amount of time. Like, I feel like there's been different phases of life where people try to put that on me. And I remember at a young age, my dad has said to me, if they're trying to pressure you into it in a short amount of time, it's typically a bad sign. It's typically not a good thing. And I think for me, there have been a few like really big life decisions I've had to make this year, and recognizing that if whoever is on the other side of it doesn't want to give me time to sleep on it, that it's probably not for me, and being okay of letting that go. But also, secondly, is recognizing that I do have an emotional wave and that whatever I'm experiencing is going to pass, and that I can ride the wave, feel it, don't ignore it, and that ignoring it actually typically makes it worse, and process it. And then you get to move on rather than fighting it, which is what I did, I feel like, the first 20 years of my life.
Exactly. Which can create all sorts of problems in your life, just in general.
Yes.
And Sophie is filled with emotions. Interestingly enough, Sophie and I only each have one channel, and they are the sister channels to each other. So I have one side and she has the other. And hers is the channel of emoting. So she has all these kinds of emotions that she can't verbalize, that are just stirring underneath the surface. So when you push them down and ignore them, it just creates a lot of turmoil. And
been there.
Is your dad on the emotional wave? Do you know?
I actually don't know his birth time, so I'll have to figure that out. But it's funny that you bring that up, because I don't know if you remember this, but for me, one of the reasons I was resistant towards being a projector was it was like another thing that was like emotions, like your life is all about emotions. And I do feel like learning about my human design did help me embrace that part of myself. And slowly over time, I switched my attitude towards it of like, okay, if this is what multiple personality typing systems and all these things say about me, what if I just tried to embrace that part of me and become an expert around my emotions and then empower other people to do the same? And so that has been a massive shift for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I am off the emotional wave, so I don't have those same emotions, but I do get overwhelmed by other people's. But the only channel that I have is the channel of struggle.
Yes, tell us about that.
And it was like, really? The channel of struggle.
Yeah.
The only defining energy in my life is the channel of struggle. Thanks, human design. Right. And so at first it's like wanting to fight the energy. And then over time you open yourself up to it and realize, oh, this is a gift. This is a power. And I just need to learn how to harness it. So the channel of struggle is a strong determination in a fight to find purpose and meaning in life. So my greatest fear in life is that my life won't have purpose and meaning. Sophie's greatest fear in life is that she won't, or it's not necessarily a fear, but the kind of thing that you're dealing with is not feeling the spirit, and feeling whenever you don't feel the spirit, you're extremely depressed and sad and down. So it's like kind of the opposite, but learning that the channel of struggle is a part of me, and that it's this hero's journey, that I have these call to adventures. I say yes to the journey. I go embark on the journey. I'm all excited. And then I hit that depth of despair and I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. Right. And I got to tell everyone about it. Mm-hmm. is kind of how it is. but then realizing, oh, hey, it's always darkest right before the rise, right? So because I go through the struggle, if you were to play a video game that you very quickly won right away, you probably wouldn't play that game again. So the struggle is essential to finding purpose and meaning in life and feeling that satisfaction of, okay, I can do this. I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to have purpose and meaning because of it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, another part of human design, I think that what it's probably like one of the first things I looked into that I was like, was my profile, and also realizing that me, Maher, and your boyfriend, Sam, have the same one. Can you tell us a little about how the profile influences us?
Yeah. So your profile is the number that's kind of like a fraction when you are looking at your chart. It'll say generator 3-5 or projector 4-1 or whatever it is. And this is the role that you play in life. It's not something, the reason that it probably resonated so hard with you is because it's not something you have to work to find. Some things in human design you've been conditioned out of, so you don't resonate with it. You've been so impacted by everyone else's energy that you don't resonate with that quality that you have because you've been taught, don't be that way, right? But with your profile, it just comes naturally. So 3-5s are all, I like to think of them as the white horse. They are the people project onto them that they're a savior, that they're going to come save the day. And yet they learn everything in life through trial and error. So they're the white horse that keeps bumping into things and failing. But it's not what I heard recently, and I love this, that if you're a 3-5, you've never made a mistake in your life. You're just learning.
Yes, true.
With each mistake, with each failure, you're learning. And so the 3 line, if you have a 3 in your profile, it's trial and error. It's making friends, breaking them, bonds made, bonds broken. Like people come in and out of your life a lot. And I'm sure you've experienced that as a 3-5. And then that projection field of people projecting onto you that you're a savior. And it can be an interesting thing in relationships because of the bonds made, bonds broken. It's like you need to figure out how to break that bond. And this can happen, like in my relationship, there was a period of time where there was a lot of questioning. Are we a good fit? Maybe we need to, you know, open up the relationship and have other people come in or something like that, and see if that might shift the energy. And that's kind of like the bonds broken side of it. But then another way to do it is like, I just need to step away for a little bit, and I'm not going to tell that person that I'm experiencing these things, and I'm going to kind of let this pass. And then I come back and now I'm making the bond again. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting energy in a relationship.
Yeah. The part of finding out that both me and my boyfriend are 3-5s that was really impactful is for both of us, I think we got to a point of our career where we just like got ourselves in analysis paralysis. Like for me, I was wanting to make a shift in my business, and I was really just kind of afraid of being a coach. But I think deep down, I definitely had this desire. And now that I'm in it, I love it. But what I realized in learning from human design was like, no, I am meant to just experiment and try things, and I will literally never know until I try it. And I will probably always wonder what if I don't try it. So that's what made me finally take the leap. And for my boyfriend, for him, there have been multiple times when he talks about something that he has been really curious about or wanting to try, and I get to be the encourager on this end and being like, you are literally designed to just try shit. Like, you are not going to know until you try it. So just give yourself a week, a month, however long you need to try this on. And if you don't like it, put it down. It's not a big deal. And that has helped him so much in what he's diving all of his free time into, which is music production. And I think that for both of us has been really impactful of learning that about each other is we get to be the encourager of each other of like when we start to hear each other talk about something a lot, but we're not taking action. We just remind each other like, hey, just try it out. Like you were literally designed to try stuff out. So just do that.
I love that. I'm going to pass that to Sam for sure. I definitely passed the whole, there's no mistake that you make, you know? And I think for me dating a 3-5, and I'm not a 3-5, I am a 4-1, I project onto him the person that I want him to be, right? And so if you're, and this same thing goes if you're dating a 5-1 or you're a 5-1, or a 2-5 or a 3-5 actually. Or a 2-5, yeah. No, sorry, I don't think there's a 2-5, but they're obviously a 3-5. So yeah, projecting onto that person that who they could be. And for me as a 4-1, the role that I'm here to play is I'm here to be the middle ground between the what they call the right angle profiles and the left angle profiles, which are, you know, certain types of people. And I'm like 2% of the population has my profile. And it's been really interesting to recognize that because I often do play that like therapist role in a way that's like, let me take what you're saying over here and communicate it in this way for this person and be that bridge. And people come in my life, they use my skill and they kind of leave and go away. And then with the 4, I'm here to, all of my opportunities come through my network, which has been huge for me to learn. So I've always loved networking, going to networking events, joining courses so that I can extend my network or whatever. And it's like, oh, wow. Like it's because all of my opportunities come through my network. So if that's you, if you have a 4 in your profile, how can you get out more? So we've obviously just covered 2 of them. There's so many of them, but learning about your profile can be very insightful as well. Which you can see how deep this information goes and why it could be a good idea to get a reading.
Totally. And if you are interested in learning more, you can find out more at Amanda's Quick Start Guide for Human Design, which I will link in the show notes. But before we move on to the last few questions, where can people find and support you?
Yeah, so human design has been a passion of mine for the last year-ish or a little bit more than a year, but my main thing is turning business owners into thought leaders. So I have a YouTube channel that helps eliminate the obstacles to sitting in front of the camera and sharing your message with the world. So Amanda Horvath is where you can find that. And I have partnered with my human design coach, Barbara Ditlow, who has been doing human design for 20 years. And we have formed a mastermind group that is a business design mastermind where we will design your business, help you design your business around your type, which is absolutely life transformational. So if you're interested in any of that, or even just to get a personal reading, feel free to hit me up on Instagram. It's AH Visions. Yeah, those are the spots.
Amazing. And you are launching a new video course soon, right?
I am.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so it's called Launch with Video, and it's how to go from unknown to known within your industry. So it's my entire video system that I use to sustainably produce videos without breaking the bank or taking up tons of time. So it's a lot of fun, and it's all about breaking through limiting beliefs, transforming on camera, transforming publicly in front of other people, and attracting your tribe by capturing your vibe.
Love it. And y'all, I will say Amanda and I both kind of started my podcast around the same time when she started her YouTube video, and she has been such a massive support for me throughout this time. And she has been way more consistent than I have been, but it's been really awesome and fun to watch her channel kind of blow up over the last few years as well. So definitely go check that out. Before we dive into the next few questions, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, Amanda, and say thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge around all things video and all things human design with us today. It has been super impactful for me in my life, and I am so glad I'm living into my projector design so I am less exhausted, give myself permission to take naps, and have finally allowed myself to step into the thought leadership and expert role where I am loving it. It has been scary, but it has become one of the funnest, most fulfilling seasons of life. So thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for giving me the space to talk about this. I really do believe that more people can use this information to transform their reality of life and experience less resistance overall as well.
Totally. Me too. So what are three truths about love or life that you live by?
The first is that you need to love yourself before you can go into a relationship or enjoy the relationship. I think that's really, really huge. I read this book called Mastery of Love recently. That's so good. All about that you can't give someone your sunshine. If the second you give someone your sunshine, they have the ability to break that sunshine. So you have to take ownership of your sunshine. I think that's been really big in my relationship. Another truth is that I don't think that anyone can fully understand you. And I think human design has helped me understand this too. Anytime you are with other people, your energy changes. So no one will fully ever understand who you are. And to expect another individual or your significant other to do that is unrealistic. And I think at first that sounds depressing, but it's actually really freeing when you let that sink in. And the third one, having a growth mindset just creates so much more enjoyment and fulfillment in life. And that purpose and meaning component, the second you stop growing, the second that feeling of knowing you're meant for more starts sinking in and eating you up inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you growing?
So good. I think that's probably one of the connecting values within our friend group, even, that we all just really value growth and hold each other to that.
Amen.
What is the best relationship advice you have ever received or could give?
These are hard. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Doing great.
What is the best relationship advice you've ever received or could give? My dad always said, what starts fast ends fast. And at first I didn't agree. I was a fast starter, fall in love quickly, all those things. And he's right. My boyfriend this time really made things slow down and made us really analyze every step along the way. And it's been really, really good and has created such a solid foundation for our relationship. So slow growth is okay.
So good. And it's so true. Lastly, what does love or love intently mean to you?
I would say love intently to me means loving with purpose unconditionally. So when you give your love, you are being intentional about it. You're not just giving it away to anyone that wants it, because that can create, like your Enneagram too, this energy of feeling resentful because you're not giving from an overflowing cup and you're expecting something back in return and it's draining you. Someone told me one time, give from an overflowing cup and you'll never run dry, right? So it's like picturing that, love intently, love with purpose, give to those that deserve it. Yeah, I'd say that's what it means.
Thank you so much for listening, friends. I absolutely adore Amanda and loved this conversation, and I hope you got as much out of it as I did. Human design is one of those things that more and more people are finding out about. Again, I was a massive skeptic, and it has been pretty helpful for me as far as learning and understanding different ways to try things and just seeing how it works for me. And so far, it has proven to be pretty spot on. I would love to hear your thoughts and your findings about all this. You can DM me on Instagram, DM Amanda. We love hearing about what impacted you, what resonated, and it really helps me create more content that empowers you and thus empowers us to spread more love to more people. And lastly, this will be releasing the day before Thanksgiving, whenever you listen to this. So I want to wish you all an amazing Thanksgiving and just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I am so, 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 so thankful and grateful for this community. You are all just such special people that hold a place in my heart. And I cannot wait till we can meet in person again someday soon. And I just wish you all well and hope you have a really great holiday filled with lots of really good food, incredible people, games, fun, whatever traditions you hold. And I will leave you with this, that you are loved, you are cared for, you are worthy and capable, brilliant, smart. You are worthy of love and you are fully capable of giving it. So until next time, with love and intention.